I'm Laura Vinroot Poole. For 20 years, I've owned Capital, an internationally recognized specialty store. Capital has never really been about fashion. It's always been about people. What we wore was created to share the meaningful journeys that inspire me. From the designers and friends I meet on the road to the men and women with whom I work each day.
Everybody wants to know her name.
Stacy Platt is a holistic healing guide based in Los Angeles. Stacy now comes to Charlotte to work with our clients and friends several times a year. I was surprised to learn that Stacy's start as a professional organizer is what led her to healing, and I think you'll love learning more about her unique calling. Stacy Platt, welcome to Charlotte.
Thank you so much. So nice to be here.
I can't believe you're here, actually, too, because I think you've had a full day of healing sessions.
It's true.
How do you do that? You're an energy healer.
Yes.
And how do you get everybody's energy off of you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's really important, too, you know, just to sort of come back to myself and my own energy. And I do really simple things, which is to wash my hands with cold water and just really intend to let anything go that isn't mine go. And then just also breathing, just re-energizing myself with different breathing practices just helps me sort of get back to feeling my own internal sense of well-being and just reigniting that inner connection with myself.
Because part of the energy healing must be connecting with other people's energy, is it not?
In the work that I do, I would say like the most important thing I do is really like attune to whoever's in front of me.
Right.
Because a lot of our early wounding comes from a lack of attunement. No matter how good parenting we had, no matter how great our parents' intentions were, and that there's often a misattunement. So by providing that attunement, can be the foundation of healing.
Interesting. Tell me how you started. Where are you from?
So I'm from, I say LA and New York because I had big chunks of time in both and I've flip-flopped back and forth about four times. So I started in New York. I was born there and my parents are New Yorkers. And then when I was nine, we moved to LA. And then I wanted to go back to New York to experience my roots while I was young. So I went to graduate school there and got my MBA.
I love that you have an MBA, but tell me, what did you study in college? They don't have energy healing majors.
No, and I wouldn't have known that I was. That's what I was drawn to do at that time.
Yeah.
I went into college as pre-med, quickly realized that wasn't my major, that was my mom's major. And then I went to communications, and I grew up in suburban Los Angeles. So at that time also, like, I didn't know what was out there.
Right.
A friend of mine was a communications major and she wanted to go into the entertainment industry and that held some allure for me. So that's what I wound up pursuing. And what's funny is that all along, I had this draw to psychology, even pre-college. And yet I never considered that as something to pursue, weirdly.
How did you know that this was a thing? And
that energy healing was a thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
And did you, as a little person, did you do some of that?
No, I would say, so as a little person, I was attracted to psychology. I was attracted to the universe. I was just fascinated with it and the vastness and like, what are we doing here? And, you know, and just that kind of blew my mind. Yeah. So at that time, I, you know, I was interested in psychology and the universe. But like today, I can look back and say, oh, I was interested in consciousness and the cosmos. It's a long and winding road.
We have time.
Okay, good. So I was in college. I did my 4 years, went into the entertainment industry at like age 24, felt my life passing me by under fluorescent lighting. Quit my job, went traveling. It was time to come back when everything I had on me was stolen, including my passport, all my money and my airline tickets. And I came back and, you know, I was at a point in my life where I just wasn't sure what was next. And I decided to go to business school, a choice that was not in full alignment with who I was becoming or who I was. But I always knew that I was pretty ill-equipped to work for someone else.
Right.
And so always saw myself as having my own business and kind of had always seen myself as having a higher degree. So made that choice to go to business school. Mm-hmm. Left business school, felt all the loan pressure to get a job. Got a job as a consultant. Did not like it.
Consulting what?
It was human resources consulting. And I went into it thinking that I never liked working in an office. Uh-huh. That maybe, perhaps, I could just change the face of corporate America. And it turned out that was not possible. I was actually working on like spreadsheets the size of football fields. And just sort of felt like, you know, had this voice in my head saying, the role of the consultant will be played by Stacey.
So your acting came in, your entertainment industry stuff came in.
Yeah,
that, right?
Exactly. And actually, yeah. And I remember I would close my office door and like do a headstand against the door just to like, I don't know, something. I lasted about 9 months. I didn't know what I was going to do. At this point, I was very into yoga. And I thought I want to do something that enables me to do yoga practice in the morning and take off and go to India for extended periods of time.
Okay.
What could that thing be?
I love that.
Uh-huh. And so I knew I needed to work for myself. And a friend of mine mentioned she knew somebody who helped people get organized. And a light bulb went off because I was born with the organizing gene.
Right.
And this was like pre-container store, pre-Marie Kondo, pre-hoarders. Like nobody knew what an organizer was. I did a little research. I wound up, this is also pre-internet, just to age myself. And I wound up taking an ad out in the back of New York Magazine that said, get organized, call for a free consultation. And my home number.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy. And people just started calling. I was like, oh, wow, okay.
And it didn't explain. It just said get organized.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Amazing. Okay. And so that in a way, like, just speaks to how the need was there before it became a thing, right?
Totally. It also speaks a lot to energy healing.
It's so interesting because I, again, knew nothing of energy healing at the time. Uh-huh. But the way I branded myself, which was a photo of a person cut off at the head. She could only see her body sitting in lotus position, all dressed in white. Mm-hmm. And then I photoshopped a white filing cabinet and her sitting on top of it. That was my sort of imagery. The name of my company was Breathing Space.
Oh, I love it.
And so it just, based on that, somehow it attracted a clientele that was in need of healing, not just organizing. For instance, a woman who lost her husband in a car accident. She was driving. Another woman had a double mastectomy, came home, realized her place was not conducive to healing. Mm-hmm. And so we just, you know, purged and purged.
Did you innately know what to do, what to clear out, what to bring in? I mean, was that just who you were?
I think I sort of innately knew that. Yeah. I learned organizing skills along the way and later partnered with my current business partner. And, you know, I think the two of us bouncing off of each other, I think we both grew a lot in terms of our skill.
And I know that when you were in your 20s, you were sick, diagnosed with melanoma.
Yeah. The crazy thing is I was reading Cosmopolitan magazine and they had a little blurb on moles and what to look for irregular moles. Mm-hmm. And I had one. I thought, oh, I have a mole that looks like that. And I went to go get it checked out, and that mole was fine, but they found a tiny black spot on my ankle, and it turned out to be in situ melanoma.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a big wake-up call for me. That was during my first job out of college. I was working as an assistant to a TV talent agent. I'd made it into the entertainment industry. Okay. It was a very stressful job. At the time, I didn't really know how to handle stress, and I really, you know, believe so strongly in the mind-body connection. Yeah. And so that really is what started me on my path.
Yeah.
I think early insecurities had led me to kind of listen to these voices outside my own in terms of what influenced me. Mm-hmm. And I think it was having that experience that turned my attention inward and really started to hone into like what's going on in me? What am I attracted to? What are my desires? What is wanting to come forth? Where's my attention being drawn? Huh. And so it's a really important moment when you're that age.
Yeah.
Melanoma can be, skin cancers can be very, very aggressive.
Yeah.
So I feel like I had, you know, universal forces looking out for me and just feel really lucky that thank you to Cosmopolitan magazine.
That is great. I love it.
Yeah.
And New York magazine for the
That's right. All these magazines. magazines. I never thought of that.
And when was the last time you looked at a magazine?
Like, never.
So the organizing business became healing.
Yeah. So my organizing clients were in need of healing, and we would just sort of do healing through talking and through moving like the stagnant energy in their home, mm-hmm. right?
That cause, and did you know innately what that was? I mean, you could feel it.
I knew. I could see clutter and see the density of it yeah. and see the toxicity of it. Uh-huh. So I kind of had that understanding, but I didn't have, I don't even think I had the language yet uh-huh. of stuck energy. All I knew was that it needed to go.
Right.
Right. And it was really interesting to see my clients, you know, their attachments to things that didn't even have positive associations for
right.
them. Right. So it's surrounding yourself with, you know, stuff that doesn't make you feel good. Mm-hmm. And everything carries energy. Everything has a vibration. And what we think of when we look at it, how it makes us feel in our space, and just mm-hmm. all, clutter is just like dense energy. Mm-hmm. The removal of it just creates a huge release of energy, and it can be emotional, mm-hmm. right?
Very. I see that in people's closets. They are so hesitant to have you come over and help them to clear out their closets. And I definitely noticed that always, but I didn't notice how, you know, there's something humiliating about it. And I think because, and I didn't understand why, not only for them, but for, I mean, I feel that way. And I think that it comes from seeing who you thought you were mm-hmm. or who you wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, and there really is a lot of shame around that,
yeah.
I guess, that, you know,
yeah.
it's really intense.
That's like, I'm really glad that you presenced that, because mm-hmm. it's beautiful to have that recognition, you know, and to really be able to see it in that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so, right. So there's like almost an honesty that needs to come forth when you're in the process of decluttering and letting
yeah.
go of old selves and old identities and even old ideas about yourself that never got manifested.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And
yep.
it's hard.
It is hard. It's true. It's
yeah.
really hard. And then, and just to like, you know, go through all the feelings associated with it, to just really show up for what is arising in the moment and meet
and
that.
Feel it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Feel it and meet it without a story,
mm-hmm.
because it's that story that creates the suffering.
Right.
But if you can just kind of feel the momentary emotion, emotions are kind of momentary. I forget exactly how long typically emotions last, but it's not long. Like, we perpetuate emotions with the stories that we run.
Exactly.
To keep that charge going, right?
Yeah, that is so weird.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Do you
We're
like
so
to
weird.
See
Humans
people...
are weird.
People are weird. Do you like to see people in their spaces, or do you like them to come to your space?
I like them to come to me.
Because it's too much.
It's a lot in their space,
mm-hmm.
and then it's, you know, they're not always... I like to just, for them, I like to bring them into a neutral space.
Yeah.
And I also feel more grounded when I'm not running around,
mm-hmm.
When I'm just sort of staying put and people come and go. It's
mm-hmm.
just, I'm very aware of like keeping myself in balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little, in Ayurveda, we say like vata
mm-hmm.
aggravating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it just aggravates that part of me that's very moving naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's just good to be in one place, create a neutral environment for them to come into, leave their life and home and mm-hmm. all the things behind, and just come
yeah.
into a clean, clear space.
Can you tell from the minute you see somebody what they need to let go of?
Not necessarily,
or
no.
that they do have something to let go of?
I can all tune into their nervous system
mm-hmm.
and see how their nervous system is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it goes back to that attunement piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who see. They're
mm-hmm.
seers.
Yeah.
They see it all.
Right.
When I was studying shamanism
mm-hmm.
and my teacher was doing a demonstration, and she said, "Oh, do you see that smoke coming out of the second chakra?" And everyone's like, "Yeah." And I'm like,
like,
"Really?" I didn't see the smoke. And I thought for a moment, for a while, like, oh, I can't do this work. I don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, because of my background in yoga, I'm very kinesthetic
mm-hmm.
and I can feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my way of seeing.
Yeah.
But I do that through the attunement. Right. So tuning into their nervous system, tuning into them, and then knowing where to go with the questioning.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to just see it all. Right.
Because
that's a special gift, really special
mm-hmm.
gift. And
just a different gift.
It's a different gift. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that there's real value in not just seeing something. Mm-hmm. I'm saying for the client, right, that they get to be part of the process because it's a process of self-discovery. It's just it's two different things.
Right.
Just to answer your question. So do I see, not in the traditional ways of seeing, but I can feel and kind of know where to guide the journey.
I love that you say that you refine your pursuits based on what brings you joy.
Yeah.
Where did you develop that philosophy?
When I was in business school, I got really into yoga. I decided to take a semester off of business school because I was doing a semester in Australia, in Sydney, and India was so close. So I'm like, while I'm here on this side of the world, let me make a pilgrimage to India to study yoga. And I wanted to go study with the teacher of my teachers. Teacher of my teachers in LA and New York was the same guy. So I decided to take a semester off at business school, and I was met with a lot of, well, I should say a lack of support.
Right.
Nobody thought that was a good idea.
From family or from business school?
Everybody.
Both. Yeah.
Everybody.
They were like, what?
I even had an Indian marketing professor who I told with great excitement. He was just like, why would you want to do that? And and my, and you know, my advisors let me know that I would become very unattractive to employers. There's a little seed inside of me. It was like, I already am, you know. And my dad really was opposed to the idea and was helping me out with a little bit of business school and said if I made that decision that he would rescind his financial support. And I felt that. That was, that didn't feel good. And I went. And it was really the first time that I could tune out the noise and follow this just like deep, strong desire in me and just trusted. I don't know why. I think because that it just was so strong and did it. And, you know, I'm so grateful I did. It was one of the best choices I've made. I did come back and finish business school. I then returned to India six more times over the next 13 years.
I love India.
It's incredible. So you must. All the textiles. Yeah. It's so special. It's incredible.
What are some of the steps that our listeners could take to operate from this place of joy?
Okay, so that's a great question, and I like to codify things, so thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. We feel so lucky to have you come here.
It is such, like, truly a privilege to be here. I have just developed such an affection for all the women of Charlotte. Really, it's...
They love you.
No, it's mutual. You know, I think the beginning thing is to know that we're all these, like, really unique divine sparks. And we're here for a purpose. And it's actually a really simple formula for finding out what that purpose is. And I really think the starting point is just to, like, notice what you're drawn to. And it's just that pull of your own soul, right? And we're all unique and we all have our own pull.
Yeah.
And to just let yourself be drawn by that.
People don't even know what they like.
I mean, I know. Yeah. You know, and I guess maybe a preliminary step is to, I'm not really sure actually how the order goes, but but to, you know, notice the incoming voices, right? And start to distinguish what's mine, what's expectations of me, you know, by my parents, by society. You know, we are a part of our, you know, cultural upbringing and and place and all these things, but we can choose, like, how strong our identification is and what aspects of that is serving us, what aspects aren't serving us, and choose to relate in a different way. It takes courage.
It also takes listening and being still and being quiet, I think.
And I think that's something, too, that's really important to put into practice because there is a lot of noise, and there's noise from the outside that becomes our internal noise,
right?
And so to quiet the mind and to sort of let some of that noise go, to turn the volume down on that noise, meditation is such a critical practice for that. I can think of nothing else that really, like, creates that inner clarity and focus.
You meditate every day?
I do, actually. Yeah. I meditate every
morning.
Day.
And
morning. Yeah. And it changes. It looks differently. Sometimes it's a breathing practice. Sometimes it's a meditation.
Where did you learn? In India?
I did, actually. I did a Vipassana retreat in India, and then I did a second one in Massachusetts. So 10 days in silence.
Wow.
Learning a specific technique.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Hard.
Yeah, it was hard. Yeah.
I noticed at Dwell Well, your organizing business, that you have a service called Space Aura.
Mm-hmm.
What does that entail?
So, right. So that's sort of like the bridge between the two things that I do, the organizing and the energy work. We go into a person's home and we organize, we get rid of clutter and we set up systems of organization and we really deal with the tangible stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the Space Aura is going in and dealing with the energetics of the home. Mm-hmm. So clearing out any kind of toxicity, any kind of energetic denseness, mm-hmm. to just bring more peace and light, and really depending on what the client's intentions are. Mm-hmm. I've done it to help clients sell houses, mm-hmm. and like kind of lay out grids with crystals to draw in what they want. It's kind of cool.
Any tips for listeners on how to clear a space?
Clearing space is just super simple, and you know, to choose something to burn to clear the space. Mm-hmm. So whether it's Palo Santo or sage or cedar, mm-hmm. They all have different properties, and to light that, take it through your house, you know, bring the smoke to all the different, you know, corners of the house, all the different parts of the house, and really hold the intention of what you're clearing out, mm-hmm. and just ask for some universal assistance. Yeah. And cedar is actually very good for purifying spaces. Mm. Palo Santo I use a lot more in my energy work.
Yeah.
So clearing energy, or even like purifying a part of the body that we're working on. Mm-hmm. And sage, I use maybe more sage for house clearing, mm-hmm. and more Palo Santo for energy work, mm-hmm. and I just wish I could pull out, you know, what the properties are.
I don't think they need words, actually. I just
I think that's how kind of how I work with them, is just more intuitively.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I told Meredith here when after I went to my first session with you that it was like going to 20 therapy sessions in 1 hour. It's like, just the way that, I mean, and I don't even know what you did. I can't even remember, but you really changed so much in my life.
Aww.
In 1 hour.
Wow. Oh, thank you for sharing that. It's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And just released so much, I think. And you knew. I didn't even know. I mean, I think any time I've seen you, you've said, why are you here? What do you want to talk about? And I said, I don't have any idea.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, you know, a flood of things.
Yeah, wow, amazing.
How do people get in touch with you if people want to see you other than through here and when you're in Charlotte?
So Instagram is my name, Stacey Platt, StaceyPlatt. And my email address is Stacey@StaceyPlatt.com.
And you're here tomorrow for a wellness panel.
I am really excited about that.
Yeah, thank you for doing that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Stacey, at the end of every podcast, we ask what people wore to the prom.
I love it.
I hope you wore something really energetically fabulous.
I'm not sure. Let's see. I wore this. Well, yes, I think it was. I think any gown is energetically fabulous, isn't it?
Yes.
It was a white. It was very traditional.
I was going to say, please be white. That's so funny.
It was white, and it was strapless. Uh-huh. It was form-fitting, and it went all the way down to the ground, mm-hmm. and it had just sort of layers, you know, a couple layers along the way, and it had there was a pattern in it.
Okay.
And I feel like it had a little sparkle to
it. Yeah. Probably. If it was the 80s.
It was absolutely the 80s, and it reflected the 80s.
In more ways than one.
Totally.
I love it. Yeah. I love that it was white.
Was I love that you asked that question.
Thank you so much.
So welcome. Thank you so much.
What We Wore is produced by Capital and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drozda. What We Wore is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.